Welcome to the program, Secretary Friedlander.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So the list of call centers for suicide prevention in Kentucky is growing. Tell us, Secretary Friedlander, a bit about what these call centers do.
So these call centers, they provide free support, and confidential, by the way, for folks who are, you know, having a crisis, a suicidal crisis or in distress. And so what we're trying to do is make sure we're expanding the calls that get answered in Kentucky as much as possible.
Well, we've all heard about how mental health issues have increased during the pandemic. Have the calls for help also increased during this time?
They've increased a little bit. They've a little bit under 5%. So there's some increase over 2019, but not quite as much as we've seen. The real piece that's been hard is the substance use piece.
About how many calls on average in a week are you seeing in these call centers?
So we see about 350 calls a week.
Wow.
That's
a lot.
It is a lot. It's challenging when folks go through tough times. Sometimes you run out of hope. And I always say, you know, there's no darker place than where you don't have hope. And these lifelines can really help restore some of that and support folks.
When someone calls one of the centers and they're able to be talked down from their crisis, what happens later? Are there follow-up calls to check on that person?
Well, what they can do is they can actually help people get to services. So a lot of these call centers are with what's called the community mental health centers, and they can actually get people connected to services to help them long term.
Is there a particular age range that a lot of people are calling in, you know, from? Is there one age range more than another that's making these phone calls?
The age range really goes, you know, it's sometimes it's younger folks, those that 15 to 24. We've seen those calls go up. So that's when you start to worry about what's happening, is really those, you know, those late teens, early 20s, there's just so much turmoil that goes on. We've seen more of that, and that is disturbing.
It is such a critical time period in life, too, and especially making these adjustments. At that time of life, you know, you want to be more social. It's more of a natural thing to be more social. And then with the isolation of the pandemic, that's creating more of this problem, too. I'm speaking to Eric Friedlander, Secretary of the Cabinet of Health and Family Services in Kentucky, on the added suicide prevention call centers within the state. Secretary Friedlander, what are the requirements for a mental health center to become accredited to serve as a national suicide prevention line?
So they have to train their clinicians, and they have to go through all of the training and all of the understanding, and make sure that they are connected to both how that gets disseminated, to how it gets marketed, to make sure that they have the capacity to take the calls, and the other thing that they do is it's called question, persuade, refer. Okay, and what that means is when somebody presents with something like a suicidal tendency or thought, the first thing to do is not just, you can't do that. It's to question why, right? You ask the question. And then you engage in the conversation. You persuade that this is not the right thing to do, that there are things that are where you can get help. And then it's making sure that you refer them to a place where they can get help. So that's an easy way to remember, like when you're confronted with that personally, it's that question, persuade, refer.
While I was researching suicide in Kentucky, I came across a survey from 2012. I know it's a little bit back, but it's the Kentucky Behavioral Healthcare Workforce Survey. And it said that 57% of surveyed clinicians indicated that they did not have the skills to engage those with suicidal intent. 43% said that they didn't have sufficient training. What has Kentucky been doing, and what are there any plans for creating the training that, you know, statewide, like a statewide requirement training to better, give the clinicians a better ability to handle people with suicidal thoughts and tendencies?
Well, that's a great question, because since that time, the training that I just referred to, that QPR training,
mm-hmm.
and there are other trainings that have been provided through the local comprehensive care centers, like
mm-hmm.
through the pathways and the folks like that, Mountain Comprehensive Care Center, River Valley, all of those folks, they have provided additional training and support to professionals and clinicians. But the reason I referred to the QPR is that's really a simple way and effective, and it's shown to be effective. And that has been rolled out since all across the state since that survey was done. Hopefully, if they did it now, you get a little higher percentage that feel like they could really deal with or make the right decisions around helping somebody who's got some suicidal thoughts.
Yeah, I was trying to find some current data, but I did mm-hmm. find that even the data for this year, that we won't even know the data results on suicide rates
right.
in Kentucky for 2 years from now.
That's right. That's right. And that's why we usually look at a three-year average to. Because there's that kind of lag time of how things get coded to a death certificate, making sure that that's right, how that gets collected at the national level, and to make sure that then all the states are the same, so we're all reporting the same data and information. And unfortunately, it does take a while.
Secretary, what are your plans as this pandemic goes on to better prepare Kentuckians and get out more information for people who, you know, may end up having suicide tendencies who don't have them right now?
Well, that's a great question. And so what we do is we try to work with, again, the local comprehensive care centers and our providers and clinicians across the state to make sure that we provide some of the resources. Again, you can go on our cabinet website, look for our Department for Behavioral Health. You'll find resources there to help with folks who are dealing with those kinds of thoughts. For clinicians and for individuals. And the other thing that I would say we need to do is always make sure that we're reaching out. Even though we can't necessarily talk in person without a mask at this point and without social distancing, but we can call, we can Zoom, we can reach out in those ways. And making sure that we get in touch with our friends and those folks who maybe we haven't heard from, those are things we all can do to make things better for our friends and our family and those folks that need the support.
Eric Friedlander, State Secretary of the Cabinet of Health and Family Services. Secretary Friedlander, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.